This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 265 in the series. In this session of the radio show, I share my conversation with Lynn Calling, Executive Director of the Franklin Food Pantry, and Tina Powderly, Chair of the Board of Directors. We had our conversation via virtual conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We talk about the happy news that the food pantry has their own home to look forward to. While they are appreciative of the space Rockland Trust has let them use for over 10 years, their needs have outgrown the space. Lynn talks about the current operations during this pandemic. Tina provides some background on the building search and closing. Work remains to be done before they move. There will be a capital campaign to help fund the mortgage and build-out. Disclosure, during the conversation, you'll hear about my background with the food pantry and that I'm committing to this capital campaign. The recording runs around 25 minutes, so let's listen to my conversation with Lynn and Tina. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. In this session, we've been joined by Lynn Calling, Executive Director of the Franklin Food Pantry, and Tina Powderly, Board Chair of the Franklin Food Pantry. Ladies, good afternoon and thank you.
Good afternoon and thank you.
Thank you, Steve, for having us.
It's a happy time under the circumstances, obviously the pandemic notwithstanding, but the food pantry finally has a new home to look forward to.
Yes, very exciting.
We do. This is something that we've been working towards for a very long time, and I've only been a part of this journey for less than a year, but the board and staff and the community has been very excited about making this happen, and we've been working really hard on purchasing a new building. I'd love for Tina to share a little bit about how this came about in her role as board chair and board member and community member.
Thanks, Lynn. Yes, it's been a long, long time, years in the making, and a lot of planning, networking, community support really has gone into it from folks in every area, really, of Franklin's life. We've had a multidisciplinary committee put together for the last few years that have had everything from the financial industry to real estate to kind of nonprofit to government, public policy, local government. Jeff Roy sat on that committee as a way for us to learn about potential new opportunities. And to take a step back from that, really, we've been very, very lucky to be living in the space that Rockland Trust has so generously loaned to us. And we've been able to operate out of there for the last 10 years or so. But as our services have grown, our programs have grown, our number of clients that we're serving have grown, the complexity of what we do has grown. It's become clear a few years back that we were going to outgrow the space. And there's just certain things that made the space very difficult to maneuver, especially given what we do. We do move a lot of heavy goods out of a truck into storage, onto shelves, out to people's cars, and the current food pantry's three floors, which makes it very difficult, especially for some of our volunteers or some of our clients who many have concomitant health issues and limitations. And the space is, small and designed not to be a sort of provider of some confidential services. So there weren't a lot of places to have confidential conversations. Some of our clients might have their children with them. We want to give them a safe, nurturing, warm space. So knowing that years ago, and this was during your time, Steve, the folks on the board and the staff at the food pantry sort of began to write this into our strategic plan years ago. Yeah. And that allowed us to, from a financial perspective, begin to save those money, put them aside in a restricted fund so that when the opportunity presented itself, we were able to move prudently. And it also allowed us to begin to look, gather information, really become educated about what we wanted, where we needed to be, size of space. We knew location was key because many of our clients rely on public transportation or they do walk. So we've been looking at spaces over the years, and this space, actually the first time that we had a conversation with Chris Brackey was years ago. But everything's a process. There's been many spaces that we've looked at and thought we might get there, and then the market might move and the seller went in another direction, just like everybody else, right? So we were patient, made a lot of networking connections. Folks were very generous in offering ideas or spots. And we ended up reconnecting with Chris towards the end of last year, and she's just been phenomenal. And I think she really saw that this building, which has very deep personal connections for her, it was her family's business, her father's business, and has been in her family for 60 years. To turn that legacy over to the town of Franklin and be able to provide a place that's going to continue to give back to the community, I think was really meaningful to her. So we are absolutely thrilled that she had the conversation with us, that she had the patience to work with us, and the foresight to see that her father's building could really be a legacy.
Couple of points there I can certainly corroborate. Yes, for those who are not aware, I was on the board from 2010, I think, or thereabouts, to 2015 when job changed. I was shifting from Citizens to John Hancock, from which I retired most recently. And in the shift taking the job at John Hancock, it was moving into a global role. I was already doing Franklin Matters. Food Pantry was already providing conflicts with some of our meetings, with some of the town meetings that I was doing. So it was like, okay, now I'm throwing Hancock in the mix. So I stepped back from the board, having left the board in a good position. There was a quality board there, so that was fun. I've left them in a good space. And you've built on that, which is good. Because a lot of things that we started back then have continued to, over the years, develop, and you continued that persistence, which you've referred to, and now we finally have a new place. So absolutely, it's good to have seen somebody, because, yeah, we looked at the building unofficially, even back in my day, and it was right. Like, no, we couldn't go there. No, we couldn't go there. So now we're there. So it's great. Absolutely great.
It is. And just like the purchase didn't happen overnight, the move will also take some time. So the building is wonderful in the sense that it's completely empty, but it's completely empty and needs to be built out.
Sure.
Which will allow us to best meet the needs of our neighbors who come to the pantry and collaborate with community organizations. Mm-hmm. And give the growing need that we're seeing even more than we're able to do now. Again, as Tina said, we're so thankful to Rockland Trust, and having that space has been incredible, and what we can do in that small and mighty space is amazing. And we've been able to really adjust even now how we help folks, because we did have to change the way we're operating right now.
Especially under the pandemic. Correct.
Exactly. So thank you to our partnership with Rockland Trust and with the Black Box, and being able to use the parking lot to have folks drive through and make it easy and safe for anyone to come by. And we're still going to be operating there for some time. We're not moving anytime soon. We'll be, we've been also looking at how that build out is going to work. We've begun having conversations, and we've had conversations throughout the purchase of this space. And we'll be reaching out to the community and discussing ways in which everyone can be involved, because the pantry is here for the entire community. And the support that we've been receiving already has been tremendous, and we're so appreciative of it. And we're trying to respond to everyone as quickly as we can, but we'll be rolling out ways in which everyone has an opportunity to be involved and engaged in this build out of the Franklin Food Pantry.
Yeah, I think that does wonders on a couple of fronts. It is a community organization. It is a nonprofit. The town does not provide any funding to it. The town certainly inspects, does the due diligence around some of the licensing requirements we have to operate under, but they don't provide any money. It's totally community. and other generous donors, Rockland Trust being one of the key ones for sure. Mm-hmm. And then having the space to truly be able to do better service for the community and better collaboration of some of the nonprofits that are also in that space servicing our community. Because while you're looking at the food aspects, there are other pieces of that that I know you've at least referred to different groups from time to time. And now, depending upon how things work, you may be able to do more of that. At least have a better place to do that without having to negotiate those nasty steps going down into the basement, which I at least have done from time to time. So I can attest that that's a good thing to get away from those.
Again, the space that we have does have some challenges, but it's been really amazing to see how much we can do with that space. But to have some of those challenges not be present anymore will allow us to work faster and more effectively and serve even more people who need us. And in this short time, it feels like it's been a long time that we've been going through this pandemic, but in this short amount of time, we've really seen the need for the pantry increase. In a usual month, an average number of new individuals or families who would come to the pantry would be about 9 people. During the first month of the pandemic, we saw 49 new folks come to the pantry.
Yeah.
So there are people who have either stepped away and didn't need the pantry for a little while, who are coming back. There are folks who've never come before, and that's why we are here. Mm-hmm. So anyone who needs to come to the pantry can come by, and we make it as easy as possible right now. So can I talk a little bit about how those operations work, Steve?
Absolutely. This is still within the realm of what we want to accomplish here. So yes. Yeah. People, I'm sure if they haven't needed it, it's like, well, what do they do? But unfortunately, yes, to your point, to the extent that the unemployment rate is certainly gradually in growing the wrong way, it's increasing. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there'll be more people who will need this kind of service. So let's let them be aware of what is available.
So for the time being, and this may change as things change daily for us, you know, we're trying to do our best to stay on top of how to be best available to serve those who need us in the safest way possible, keeping us safe as well as our neighbors safe.
Right.
So right now we are open Tuesdays and Fridays, 9:30 to 12:30, and then again from 1:30 to 4, and folks just drive into the Black Box parking lot, drive up to one of the staff or volunteers who is working that day, and we ask your name, your address and a phone number, your household size, and then we put some bags in your trunk. Right now, we're also able to offer choices of frozen proteins like beef and fish and chicken, as well as fresh produce.
Mm-hmm.
And those items we're able to purchase with greater buying power through the Greater Boston Food Bank, as well as through the support of individuals who've been donating to the pantry. Some of those items are getting a little bit harder to get now. So, you know, that's a challenge for everyone.
Sure.
But we are glad that we're able to provide as much as we can right now. We are actually also just beginning to have conversations about what it's going to look like when we reopen. Now, we don't know when that's going to happen and what that will look like, but we want to start having those conversations. So again, we can do it in the safest way possible for everyone.
Yeah. Maintaining the social distancing, facial coverings.
Right. Right.
Additional safety measures as required as you're dealing with the produce and the products.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so we all, those of us who are working, all wear masks and gloves. And we've been, there have been folks in the community who've been donating masks, either making them or purchasing them and donating them.
Mm-hmm.
So beginning last week, we were able to offer those to folks who didn't have masks. So we're thankful again to the community for being so supportive to the pantry. But in essence, to the entire community, to making sure that we are all safe and have what we need to make it through this.
And then, clearly, the online donations are probably still the best way, because then it gives you the flexibility of using the finances for, you know, current purchases to fill in whatever the needs are. And the needs will certainly vary from time to time, depending upon what you're being asked for or what's available. And I know you've had your wish list or current needs list that you update on a periodic basis. But there's still some regular items, paper goods or feminine products. I know was always something that, because WIC and other safety nets don't cover those, that's something that certainly people still need those.
That's true. And so when we have items, we will put them out along with our shelf-stable items that we provide on a weekly basis with the frozen foods and fresh produce. We sell diapers, feminine products. We had someone do a big pet food drive, and we had pet food out there.
Yes.
Pets are just as important members of our family. So we're thankful that we've been able to provide all of those other items that are necessities. So we do update our current needs list on a regular basis, and sometimes that's daily. The community has been so generous and responsive. As soon as we put up what our need is, our donation box or our PO box is often overflowing. We're really thankful for that. But again, financial support really does help us then be able to purchase whatever we need, whether that's through the Greater Boston Food Bank or supplies for the weekend backpack program, which we're still doing with the school system. Keeping our lights on in the building, filling the truck with gas when we're making those drives.
The other essential essentials.
Right. So really the best way again is through making a financial donation. The current needs list is updated regularly. We've had people reach out to us recently about making masks. Tina had someone reach out to her to see if we needed masks, and that's really helpful. So if there's a question, if we need something, or if there's something that you'd like to do and you're not sure if we need it, please reach out to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we will respond as soon as we can.
And for those listening, we'll include in the show notes the current contact info, as well as the food pantry link to donate directly, as well as the food pantry page. You update your Facebook page fairly regularly too, and your Twitter, I believe, is also fairly active.
Yes. And we're recently becoming more active on Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Spreading the wealth socially. That's good.
Yep. So there's a number of ways for folks to follow us and become engaged and know what we're doing.
Yes. Yep. And then in addition to obviously the central needs, I'm assuming there'll be some sort of a capital campaign for the building needs, because while you are in a financial and fiscal stable position to purchase the building, you'll still need to eventually pay off the mortgage at some point in time.
That's true. There'll be paying off the mortgage and then building it out. Mm-hmm. And we will be launching a capital campaign later this year and sharing more information with the community as it gets closer to early to mid-fall. There'll be a number of ways for folks to get involved. And we've been having some conversations with folks in the meantime. And, you know, that's really with the financial planning and fiscal management that the board and staff has provided over a number of years, as Tina shared, with putting money aside into a restricted account. We've been able to have more conversations with folks to let them know where we were moving and hoping, or how we were moving forward and how they can get involved and become engaged and support the pantry through this effort.
Just going to add on to what Lynn was saying, because I find the journey that the food pantry has been on has been really inspirational, and I would sort of point to it for any nonprofit who has a dream, and the dream seems almost out of reach because it's so big. But I would say slow and steady wins the race, and that's really been, you know, what we've been doing. And so we've been making contacts over many, many years, where we've been, you know, talking to partners like the Greater Boston Food Bank and what they have in terms of new or specific financing vehicles that might be appropriate just for a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
We've been cultivating community folks who are very interested or have a personal interest in contributing to this particular initiative. So, you know, I think folks look and think, wow, I can't believe a food pantry is able to purchase a building. And you will find actually across the state of Massachusetts, we're just one of many who've been able to achieve this. And it's both through very prudent fiscal planning where, mm-hmm. you know, you're saving for a large purchase, much like you would do if you were purchasing a car or your child's about to go to college. You can see that on the horizon. But also through the generosity of people and in our community. And so we know that the capital campaign as it shapes up is going to be a big piece of that, because truly we want every dollar to go to providing services to our clients. And right now that means we need a bigger shell for us to provide those services and hopefully be able to collaborate with partners, like you said, and just be more robust. But it was a long process, which involved many people and organizations, and it will still continue. So I would expect that many people listening to this interview will be getting that phone call from us someday, picking their brain, asking them to make connections, asking them, you know, what don't we know? Where can we look, and see how folks might want to be, engaged or contribute to the end of this journey. We can see the finish line, but there's a lot of work left to do. So we'll be relying on our community for that, for sure.
Yeah, Rome wasn't built in a day. Otherwise, we'd be using their planning. Right? Isn't that something that we see usually on Boston signs somewhere, you know, Rome? But as a former board member, been associated with the pantry for many years, having recently retired, one of the things I realized in our conversation, and I'll use that deliberately around the capital campaign, is, you know, my financial contributions previously had been through payroll deduction. I don't have a payroll anymore. So the company's right. not doing the match. So it's a good opportunity for me to just simply take some of my money and put it into this cause. And I'm happy to do so. So hopefully others will join in more or less amounts, to each their own, but every little bit helps.
That's true. And, and every gift really does.
Lynn was going to say exactly what I was going to say. Yep.
Yep. There's no gifts too small. Every gift makes a difference and allows us to continue growing and serving our neighbors. And, you know, as hard as this pandemic has been, what's been so inspirational and inspiring and heartwarming is the support the community has shown. Mm-hmm. In days of schools closing and not knowing what this was going to look like. I mean, this was right. before we even had a stay-at-home advisory in place. We saw donations to the pantry increase. So that's been the beautiful side of this, seeing yes. people yeah. really care and want to support one another.
That's heartening for sure, because there are some naysayers. They are what they are. You know, they'll do what they'll do, but I'm glad that we'll come up with and help you continue to do your service to the community. Because clearly, as we've seen, especially with the unemployment numbers there, I remember it being better part of 2008 to 2010, looking at myself, and during the Great Recession, that was a different economic time. There's much more uncertainty around this one. And I feel for the people who are trying, who are unemployed now, trying mm-hmm. to find something. And what will the future do? Never mind the students who are not working or not working after school, because they're not even in school. And especially the seniors, what's going to happen in September? Nobody knows. That crystal ball hasn't yet solidified enough to let people. So in all this uncertainty, I think if anything, you just have to come back to what can I do today? What can I be mindful of fixing today that I can control, and take one day at a time, one step at a time, and go through it?
Yep.
And help you on your journey forward.
Thank you.
Anything else we should add before we kind of wrap up? I think we covered certainly your current operations, the new building. It's coming. It's not here yet. So you'll be operating where you are for a while. There will be a capital campaign in the future. Stay tuned for further details. Community help can still help in a variety of ways.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No, I think we're good.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, thank you for taking your time today. And we certainly appreciate the work you're doing on behalf of our neighbors.
Well, thank you, Steve, for all you do as well.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.